Daf is Daf Gimel Tesh, learning is sponsored by the Felder family in honor of parents, children, and grandchildren. So we got to the very last daf of last two lines of Beis Amud Beis. We discussed yesterday what exactly was the machlokas between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai in terms of the Beis Hashanol B'Yamtif, whether it's a mutter or aser. So yesterday we had two suggestions. Rav Nachman said that the iser had to do with the nolad and the muksa. We ended up rejecting that because otherwise the Mishnah should have focused on both the tarnagolas and the beta. So we rejected that suggestion. And then the Gemara suggested a second one with Rabbah, Hachana the Rabbah, about having the preparation before Shabbos, before Yom Tov. Those are the two suggestions of yesterday. Today we're going to see another two suggestions. So Gemara says again, last two lines of Beis Mabeis, Rav Yosef Amar Gzeira Mishum Peros Hanoshim. The reason why you cannot have an egg that was laid on Yom Tov is because we're concerned if you have that, that's permitted. One might also start eating from fruit that fell off the tree on Yom Tov as well. And there's a similarity between the egg falling off the tree, rather from the tarnagolas to the fruit falling off the tree. If you just look at Rashi, last Rashi in the Amud here, Rav Yosef Amar Taima Debeitza B'Tarnagolas Omedesh La'achila Kimna. Talking about where the tarnagolas is actually not muksa, where the tarnagolas was set aside to be eaten. U'beisil da'asu mishim peros hanoshim mina'ilan b'shabbos. V'kasaka daitach hashta gzerehi mishim peros hanoshim delo nichlinu. So the nami peros noshim mina'ilan damya shavzu pri hanoshar. So the egg falls from the tarnagolas and the fruit falls from the tree. That's a comparison. Well, I said, wait a second. My gzera. What was the gzera? Why can't you have fruit that fell from the tree? What was the problem with that in the first place? So Gemara says, Shema yala v'yilosh. Maybe you're going through the reason why fruit that fell from the tree you can't eat. There's no problem if Mikra didn't eat fruit that fell from the tree on Shabbos. The problem is because if I allow fruit that fell from the tree, I might also climb the tree or rip off the fruit from the tree. And that's a violation of kotzer. Look at the top, Rashi. Rashi says, v'yilosh tahavi isure daraisa. The hainu koter shu'av malacha. So fruit that fell from the tree are allowed that might lead me to taking the fruit from itself from the tree. That's koter. Of course, the problem with that is higuf gzera. Peres hanoshim itself is only a gzera. So extend that to another gzera, the beit shenol b'yamtiv, v'anim nekem and nigzer gzera l'gzera. We're going to add a double gzera. We never have double gzeras. And the Gemara answers, no, kula chada gzera. This is all part of the same gzera. If you look at Rashi two lines down, Rashi says, the Beit Shenol Yom Tov wasn't a gzera because it might lead to the gzera of Peres Hanoshim. Ella, says Rashi, kishenimnu v'gazu al Peres Hanoshim. When they made the gzera of Peres Hanoshim, that first gzera, av Beit Ha'isa b'mashva. They included in that initial gzera Peres Hanoshim along with the Beit Shenol Yom Tov. That was the concern. That was all one gzera. That we said we're concerned that if you allow fruit that fell from the tree, and you also allow beta, shenol b'yamtif, that was all instituted lest you come to take fruit from the tree itself. Look at Tosos here on the top here. Tosos asks a question. He wants to know, why do we have to make this gzera of Shema Yidlosh? Shouldn't there be another concern of being muksa? Because when Shabbos started, Yom Tov started, the fruit was already attached to the tree, Be'er Shmasho, so that's already a muksa. So why does it have to be another gzera of Shema Yalav Yilosh? So we'll just skip the question of Tosa, jump to his answer. The first narrow line down in Tosa, he says, V'yei Shlomar, the time of the hacha, Asya Liba de Rabbi Shimon, de Lesley Muksa. That's Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon who doesn't hold a muksa, that's why they have to have another reason, a different reason, of gzera Shema Yalav Yilosh. Well, the Kaman later on, where the Gemara implies that Muksa is not of a concern, rather Muksa is a problem, that's according to Aliba, the Rebbe Yehuda. That's Tosus' first answer. But then he seems to say later on, he gives another answer, I don't want to go through the details, it gets involved in Muksa, but it's the initial suggestion of Tosus. Now Tosus, much later on, and this is a very long piece here, he asks the question, wait a second. If you look down at Tosus, the medium wide line down, halfway down, the first word is Yivla'enu, then it says Ach. He says Ach Tema. My Shema Yalav Yidlosh. Why is that Usr? We know ochel nefesh is allowed a yontif. So I should be able to go pick off a fruit from the tree. That's ochel nefesh, isn't it? So certainly, shema yalav yilosh, tlish is a heter ochel nefesh. Why is it aser? So Tosa gives a very, very important answer. If you look at the first wide line down, the widest of lines in Tosos, he says, v'yesh omrim, around six words in. V'yesh omrim, that the L'chach Ein Tzadin Sheyos asks a question why you can't trap fish on Shabbos or other animals on Shabbos. Isn't that Ochel Nefesh? So he gives a very important restriction, limitation. Big Machlok is Tosin and Ran. We're going to just see Tosos now. We'll see the Ran later on in the Masechta. But Tosos writes, V'yeshomim D'L'chach Ein Tzadin, the reason why you don't catch on Shabbos, or Yom Tov rather, Shema Yotza Dogim Temeim Shenim L'tzarech. because you might catch non-kosher fish, and that's going to be not lochal nefesh. But he doesn't like this answer, Tosa says. V'lo nihira. Dim kein have a mlacha she'etzichel gufa demutaris. That's a mlacha that you don't need. That's called a mlacha she'etzichel gufa. Machlokes Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shua, that's aser mutter. Tosa says we paskin it's mutter, so that's not an issue. So al kein perish Rabbeinu nisanel mikinon. This is his answer. He says, the reason why you can't trap on Shabbos, rather on Yom Tov, nor can you do tlish on Yom Tov is for the following reason. He quotes to Yushalmi, yesh ach, that ach asher ye'achal l'chol nefesh, that which you eat on Yom Tov, v'samichlei, this is next to the pasuk, gushmartim etzem matzos osama, so there's a connection of shmur matzah to that of heter l'chol nefesh, which means that those malachos, shemishimur ve'elach heim mutaros. Only the stages of the Sidur the Pas, the steps of making matzah, whatever malacha requires shmira, those are the parallel malachas that are allowed to be done on Yom Tov. So what are they? Dehainu milisha ve'elach. When do you require shmira matzah? So it's another machlokas, do you require shmira from the Shas Ktsira? So Tos assumes you require from the Shas Lisha, which means when you begin to knead the dough, that's when there's a requirement of shmira for the matzah. So too, when it comes to heter l'chol nefesh, only from lisha and on, such as baking and cooking, but that which is before, the tzad, or what came to the tlisha, the ksira, that's before the lisha process, that's not part of the heter. As Tosas says, of al shar melachos, the mikodim l'chach asum. So that's all the understanding of Tosas, and I told you Ron has a different pshat of which melachos are allowed, which ones are not allowed for heter l'chol nefesh. Either way, that was the answer of Yosef, how to explain the Gemara here, the Mishnah, that Shema Yalevi Yidlosh. Comes along now, back inside the Gemara, three lines down from the top. Reb Yitzchak Amar, Gzeira Mishim Mashkim Shezavo. He has another concern. Those learning Smichas Chaver, we've been doing this the past few weeks, they're not allowed to squeeze, they can't squeeze on Shabbos, that's Aser, to do that. But not only that, but even fruit that were left aside and the juices start to flow out, you can't drink those juices either because you might come to squeeze the fruit. That's called a Mishim Mashkim Shezavo. So just like they said, you can't have a liquid that came from the fruits on Shabbos, so too you can't have the beitza that came from the food on Yom Tov. So Gemara says, Amr le'abai, Abai says, Mishum mashkim, mashkim shezavu, time am I. Why can you have the liquid that came from the fruit on Yom Tov or Shabbos? My gzeira, it's a gzeira, Shema Yitzchok, that might lead to the schita. So now we had another gzeira to the beitza. So we had the same question, he gufa gzeira, v'anam nekim v'nigzer, gzeira l'gzeira, we're not going to make a double gzeira. And the Gemara answers, no, kula Chada Gzeri. It's all the same Gzeri. When they said you can't have Mashmu Shezavu, they included in that one Gzeri, you also can't have Beit HaShanol Dabiyantid, because both of them might lead to actual Tzchita. So that's the Rabbi Yitzchak's understanding. So now the Gemara says we have a total of four different explanations of the Mishnah. Rav Nachman about Muksa V'Nolad, Rabba about Hachana, Rav Yosef about Shema Yala V'Yitlosh, Rav Yitzchak about Mashmu Shezavu. So the Gemara wants to know these all four, why don't we accept, what's the machlokas between these four different opinions? So kulo Rav Nachman lo amin. No one held like Rav Nachman, because Rav Nachman said ki kushin, like we had a question on Daf Beis, that it should have been about Tanagolas and the Beta, both of them, if it was really about Muks and Nolad, since the Mishnah was only about the Beta, not about the Tanagolas, they rejected Rav Nachman's understanding. Comes along now, Kiraba, Nami Lo Amri, Hachana Lestu. They did not have this drasha. Rabba was Mechadish's din of Hachana the Rabba. They didn't hold the drasha, so they rejected his shot of the Mishnah. But Ella, according to Rav Yosef, my time Lo Amar Rav Yitzchak. Why did Rav Yosef not say the Rav Yitzchak? Why did he not say Mishum Mashmu Shezavu? So Amar Lecha, Beitza Ochla, Uperis Ochla, Lafuki Mashkim Delav Ochla. Because if you have to compare eggs to fruit, or eggs to liquid, it's much more similar to fruit. They're both food, they're both solids, as opposed to a beta, that's not compared to liquid that came Ashkum Shazavu, so therefore he didn't accept Reb Yitzchak's understanding. Reb Yitzchak, my time alo amar k'rav Yosef, why didn't he not hold like Reb Yosef, who held that was the issue of Shema Yalav Yitlosh, amar l'cha beitza b'lua u'mashkim b'luyim, as opposed to lafuke peris di megalav akayimah. Eggs are completely absorbed. It's completely hidden in the chicken, just like the liquid is hidden in the fruit. So they're similar in terms of they're both balloon, as opposed to the fruit, which are completely exposed. So then he felt it was not similar to that of the fruit. The Gemara now says the Afrav Yochanan Savar Kazera Mishum Mashkim Shezavu. Rav Yochanan also agrees to Rav Yitzchak that the concern here is Mashkim Shezavu. So we're going to have, he's going to ask a question, and based on his assumption of asking the question, it was clear that he understood Mashmu Shezavu was the underlying reason of a beta. So Gemara says again, after Yochanan Savar, Gezerah Rabbi Shemashim Shizavu, the Rabbi Yochanan, Rami, the Rabbi Yehuda, the Rabbi Yehuda, he had a question of a stira between two Rabbi Yehudas, Umeshana, he gave an answer. And in that, again, the assumption of the question was only, it was predicated that Rabbi Yochanan assumed that beta is the same exact reasoning as Mashkim Shizavu. So what was the question? So it says, Tanan, Mishan tells the Maseches Shabbos and the Maseches Shabbos, Ein sochten saperis lahotzim hen mashkim. You're not allowed to squeeze fruit. You cannot create liquid. That's a violation of the melacha of dush. Vim yatum me'atman. If they came out on its own, if it just leaked on its own, that's aser as well. You can't eat it or drink it, rather. On Shabbos, after Shabbos, you're allowed to, but on Shabbos, it's aser. Comes along with Rabbi Yehuda, which is our focus. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, im la'ochlen, if you had the fruit collected to eat the fruit, let's say you collected oranges to eat the oranges, so your whole focus was on food. So then, hayote mehen motor. Any orange juice that leaks from it is actually allowed because you don't want it to leak. You want it to be a food, so that would be allowed. That's delo nichaler. That's not part of the gezerah. However, im lamashkim, if you collected the oranges to ultimately to juice them, to create orange juice, then hayote mehen would be usher because that would be nichaler because you want those liquids. So if you begin to drink the oranges, you might come to squeeze the oranges as well. So there's a chilek between the im lamashkim, im laochlim. So now the Gemara says, we see from this, however, Alma, Kol Ochlin, the Rabbi Yehuda, Ochla the Afrisu, that all the food, anything comes from it, is considered food. What does that mean? So if you look at Rashi, Rashi says here, the last four narrow lines of Rashi, says, Alma, Mide Ka'amar Imla Ochlin, if you collected the oranges to eat, Hayotimen Mutter, that which comes out is Mutter. Kol Li Ochlin Amar, Bedavar Hayotimen Ochla the Afrisu. Meaning anything else that comes from food, in itself is food, even though the juice is actually liquid. We view this as food, it's not bechlal the concern of mashkim shezavu. Ve'enu bechlal gzeres mashkim shezavu. So that's his understanding. Fine, that's Rabbi Yehuda Shita, the guy with mashkim shezavu. But now, Rabbi Yochanan asks a question on Beitza. He says, wait a second, don't we have elsewhere? He says, Ruminhu, the ode al Rabbi Yehuda, the Mishnah in Maseches Eirvin. Masna adam al kalkala shoperis b'yom terishon v'ochla b'sheni. You're allowed to make a tanai on a basket. If you have a basket of fruit, there's an issa deraisa, or rather issa midrabanan. You cannot be mafrish chumas hamaisos on Yom Tov. If I have a tevel that the person had tevel and I want to eat the tevel, I'm a farmer. I cannot eat this food until I give chumas to the kohen and maisos to the levi. But I forgot to do it. It's now Yom Tov and I can't be mafrish chumas and maisos. What do I do? So today Yom Tov. So on today Yom Tov, so I can make a tanai. Today Yom Tov is a suffix. It's today Yom Tov is today chol. So make a tanai. Say wait a second. If today is a chol, I'm mafrish today chumas and maisos, and it works and great. And if today is Yom Tov, what I did was nothing, it was meaningless. And the next day as well, I do the same thing. I say, if yesterday was Chol, I already did Shumas and Maisos. If yesterday was Yom Tov and today is Chol, so now being Mafish, today it's Chol. So by Yom Tov Sheni, you for sure did a proper Hafrasha, either yesterday or today, and you could go ahead and eat the fruit. Now that's true of Shumas and Maisos, the Tevel. And then he says, V'chein Beit Shanol de Barishon, Tochal B'Sheni. But if the egg was laid on Yom Tov Rishon, you can have it Yom Tov Sheni. Why? Yom Tov Rishon might be Yom Tov, so you can't have it. But Yom Tov Sheni then would be Chol. If yesterday was Yom Tov, well, if yesterday was really Chol, and today was Yom Tov, you could have it because it was laid yesterday. So same idea, there's a suffix of the Yom Tov Rishon, Yom Tov Sheni, so the Beit is Mutter on day two as well. So now the Gemara says, Medayik, that's only true B'Rishon, B'Sheni in B'Rishon Lo. You're only allowed to have this on day two, but you cannot have this on day one. So if you look at Rashi, now Rashi says five lines up, B'sheni in, B'rishon lo, Ama kol mide dezav mimakomo b'yamtiv, v'afilu ochla aser. Anything that comes from food is aser. Meaning earlier, we said the previous Mishnah said, Mashkim shezavu of oranges is allowed according to Yehuda. If the oranges were for food, it's allowed because anything that comes from food is considered food. So now if a beitza comes from a tarnagolus, the tarnagolus is food, the beitza should also be food, it should be allowed. Just like mashkim shezavu is allowed on Yom Shabbos, so too the beitza should be allowed on Yom Tov as well. It's the same exact thing. So we see from the question he's asking, he's assuming that beitza should know the Yom Tov is just like mashkim shezavu. That's the assumption, that's the equation. Otherwise it couldn't make sense, these two different halachas. So that was how we know Rabbi Yochanan assumes that beitza should know the Yom Tov is just like mashkim shezavu. Either way, after asking the question, what's the answer? So Gemara says, "Umishani Rabbi Yochanan muchlefes hashita." Let's switch around who says what. And really, Rabbi Yehuda of the Mishka Mashim Shazavu does not distinguish between Ochlin versus Mashkim. Rabbi Yehuda is really the first opinion. He's really the Tanakam that says, across the board, whether I collected the oranges to drink or to eat, all Mashkim Shazavu is Aser. So it's therefore consistent with the Beit Shishon. The Beyond the Verishon is also Aser, the same exact halacham. Gemara says, from the fact that he asks a question of Mashkim Shazavu to a case of Beit Shishon the Beyond, is again under the assumption, Shema Amina, Chad Taimut, all of the same exact reason. Okay, excellent. Let's go right to now on Amud Beis. Says the Gemara. Ravina comes along and says, not true. He says, Ravina Amar Liyalam Lo Eit Tepech. There's no need to actually switch around the order. Leave everyone as is. Leave the Mishnahs as they remain. And says, Lo Tepech, Rabbi Yehuda, the Devrem, the Rabban Kamar Lehu. Rabbi Yehuda is responding to the world, to the opinion of the Rabbanim. Lididi, according to me, Rabbi Yehuda says, Afilu Barisho Namishara. I think that the Beit Shinol the Biyamta Barishon is actually allowed, just like Mashkim Shazavu from fruit collected for Ochlin is allowed, so to Beit Shinol the Biyamta is allowed, to Ochlin the Afrasu. It's food that comes from fruit. It's completely mutter. But in your world, says Rabbi Yehuda, Ela Lidichu, according to you, O de Limias, at least agree to me, De Besheni Sharya Dishte Kedushusein. You should at least agree to me that if not on day one, if you don't think it's mutter on day one, it should at least be mutter on day two, because it's what's called shtei kedushas. Shtei kedushas means the yantav rishon and yantav sheni are two independent days. One day is yantav, one day is chol, the two independent days, and therefore at least yantav sheni, it should be permitted. And the response to that is, of amru le rabban, rabban say back, no, lo kedusha achas. We actually hold, it's all one kedusha. It's all the same kedusha, and therefore you can't switch around. So if you look at Rashi, Rashi says here that two narrow lines down, he says kedusha achasi. We're talking about Rosh Hashanah in particular, by the way. I should mention that. It's not similar to other Yom Tovim, because he says, the Hanach Lav Mishum Sveika Iskin. Because it's not because of a Safik. The Af Bizman Bezdin, Hayu Osen Osam Shayamim, in Bo Edim Minamin Chalamala. The Gemara's Rosh Hashanah tell us that Yom Tov Rishon of Rosh Hashanah, there's a, in this Kalkul Ashir, we'll see this later on, actually, the Masechta, that one time the Edim came late. They thought today was a regular Chol, they weren't showing up, it wasn't Rosh Hashanah. And they sang the Shir Shachol, and it turns out Edom came a little bit later. It was actually Rosh Hashanah. They messed up on the Shir. Others say they messed up on the Karban Musaf. A big discussion. We'll see Rashi and Tosa how to interpret that whole Gemara there. Either way, in this Kalka Bashir, so they were misakein that every Rosh Hashanah must be 2 days. Today is Yontif, whether they come or not, and tomorrow will be Yontif as well. It was 2 day Yontif. And therefore, it wasn't based on a Safik. It was based on a Takana Meikara. And for therefore, says Tosos, Rabbana rather, even though by Yontif in general, when they keep 2 days, it's a Safik. So they're called Shtei Kedushos, one day is Chol, one day is Yom Tov, for the two independent days. Rosh Hashanah is Kula Kedusha Achasi, Yom Arichta they call it, it's one long day, and therefore if it's Aser in day one, it must be Aser in day two as well, because it's a one long 48-hour day. That's the response of the Rabbanim. So Gemara now says, Ravina, Breder of Ula, Amar, Hacha, Pertanagos, HaMedes, Lagada, Beitzim, Rabbi Yehuda, the Tamei, Dislei, Muksa. He gives another pshat here. So if you look in Rashi, Rashi says, Ravina, Breder of Ula, Amar. The Rabbi Yehuda, may Karlo Tiksha. There's no question here, the Rabbi Yehuda by Mashkim Shazavu versus the Rabbi Yehuda of the Beit Shinod B'Yamtiv. The Hadda Kamar B'Sheni in Rishon Lo, where he allowed you to have the egg on day one, or on day two rather, not day one, B'Omedes the Beitim Kamar, U'Mishim Muksa, V'Omishim Rashkim Shazavu. We were assuming the Beit Shinod B'Yamtiv initially was where the Tarnagolas was Omedes La'achila. There was no muksa on the Tarnagolas. It was Ochel, and it was a question of Ochel the Afras. He says, no, that Mishnah is talking about where the Tarnagolas was Omedes Le'beitzim, so it was not Ochel the Afras. The chicken was not food. The chicken was rather muks in the first place, and for that reason, it was also, therefore, a different situation. So now the Gemara says, around 8 lines down from the top here, Macy Vey asks the Gemara the following question. So we had, again, now everything's clear. We had 4 reasons of the Mishnah. We end up concluding that the 2 reasons of the Mishnah, either Mashkim Shazavu, or we said because of Shema Yala V'Yidlash. So Gemara now says, Meisive. Echad Beita Shenolda B'Shabbos, Ve'echad Beita Shenolda B'Yamtif. Whether an egg was laid on Shabbos or whether it was laid on Yamtif, Ein Metaltin also, you're not allowed to move it into Muksa. Lo L'chasas Bo'as Akli. You can't use an egg to put on top of a Kli as a cover of some sort. And below, lismoch ba'kari mita, or to use it to hold up a bed. And Rashi says, they talk about how my kids like to do this. So you take the eggs of by the two ends, it's very strong. You could kind of squeeze like that, it won't break, unless you're really strong. But it holds pretty strong weight to the sides of the eggs. So Rashi says, you put the egg underneath the bed, it holds the bed up, if such an egg could do that. The Meir says it's very hard to imagine a bed will be held up by an actual egg. So he says, no, it's somewhere like a small little like bed, like a little on the, like a little tchotchke or something, a tiny little thing. You put the egg up to keep it balanced. But somehow the egg would be used to hold something up to make it even. And the Gemara says you can't use that on Yom Tov because it's muksa. So you can't use the egg to cover something. You can't use the egg to hold something up. It's considered muksa. Aval, what you can do is kofeh ale es hakli bishvil shelo tishaber. You can put a cup over it or something to protect the egg from cracking. That's allowed. So if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, even though normally you're not allowed to take something for a muksa item, I can't use a kli, even though the kli itself is mutter, I can't use a cup for a muksa item. He said you're allowed to. So this Gemara holds against Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak says you can only take a kli for something else that's mutter. You cannot use a kli for a davar muksa. So here the Gemara says, no, you are allowed to use a kli, even though it's being taken and used for an item that's muksa. He just points it out. And then the Gemara says further, again, aval kofa lets a kli b'shvil shelo tishaber, usveka asura, the safek case, if you don't know if it was laid today or if it was laid yesterday, that's asura, that's going to be the focus of the Gemara. Vim nisarva be'elef kulan asur, so if it gets mixed with many other eggs, you don't know where it is, the whole batch is asur. Even though normally you hold, we apply bitta barova, whatever the shear is. In this case, we don't apply bitta barova. We'll discuss that as well. And that's the whole brisa. So now, before you go ahead, there's a very important tos here, lach lamais, the top tosis writes, about kofal of a kli. So he quotes that Rabbi Yitzchak, like I told you. Go three lines down in tosis. He says, mikan, poskim deha kaimlan, de davar shemlachto le'isr, usr, that which is a davar iser, davar shmachtol iser, such as a hammer, let's say, the main purpose of a hammer is to nail in nails, that's a davar shmachtol iser, eino eladafka sheino tzarech legufo ola tzarech makomo. He says, it's only true if you don't need the hammer to open up a nut, or you don't need a place where the hammer is. Aval tzarech gufo ola tzarech makomo, if you need the hammer because it's in your chair, or you need the hammer to open up a nut, shari, then it's permitted. That's the understanding. That's, everyone agrees to that. Now, this is where he adds, v'im hischil l'taltala b'shvil shetzarach l'gufo l'makom. It lets you pick up the hammer because it's in your chair. Or you need to use it to open a nut. Mutter l'holicho afilu b'chadro im yitzah. You're allowed to move it wherever you want. Once you picked up a heter, you could leave it, bring it wherever you want. That's what Tosafot writes, and this is what we bring down l'alacha. The Gra argues, the Gra says, not true. He says, the moment you're done using it, you must drop it immediately. It comes up halacha l'maisa in that, but using a hammer. But when it comes to a mole, for example, the mole uses the knife. The knife is a davar that's muksa. It's a machas chesam kiss. But you're allowed to use it for a bris milah. So what does the mole do afterwards? So some say, when he's done with it, he just puts it back where he wants to put it. And others say, no, you must drop it immediately because you're only allowed to use it when it's being used. But after that, you must drop it. And the Gra goes against his tosis and says, otherwise, you must drop it right away. So that's what I think most molim, after they're done, they drop it in the bag. And then if they carry it by the bag, they can carry it, but they can't carry the knife when it's complete. Okay, let's go right in the Gemara now. Either way, the Gemara presented this brisa, and the focus right now is that a beta that was suffic, whether it was late today on Yom Tov or yesterday, the din is that it's usr. So Gemara now says, wait a second, let's try to plug in all the different reasons of our Mishnah and see how this makes sense. So Gemara says that Bishma, this makes sense according to Rabbah, Damar Mishim Hachana, Have Sveka Deraisa, Bechal Sveka Deraisa, Lechumra. So Rabbah already taught us that it's based on a pasuk, so his whole Isser is an Isser Deraisa, and therefore Safek Isser Deraisa is Lechumra. So this makes sense for the Safek Asur Beta's Safek Asura. Ella L'Rav Yosef, Rav Yitzchak, Damar Mishim Gzeira, that their whole basis was a Gzeira, which is only a Midirabanan, it's a Sveka Derabani, Bechal Sveka Derabanan Lekula. So how can the Braisa here say the Safek Beta is Asur? It should really be Mutter. So Amrle, they say, no, Seifa, Asin, L'Safek, Trefa. When the Gemara says Safek, it's not referring to Sveka when it was laid. It's a case of you don't know if the Tarnagolus was a Trefa or not a Trefa, and then the Beta would be a Trefa or not a Trefa. The Safek, the status of a Trefa, and that's a Safek Deraisa, that's why it's L'Chumra. So then the Gemara says, okay, if the Seifa here is about a Trefa, so that said in the Seifa, Sveka Asura, it also said, Im Nisarva Ebelf Kulam Asurus. So if that's the case, Ihachi, Ema Seifa, Nisarva Be'elef Kulon Asurus. So now if the Safek Beta is a Trefa, they're all Asur. Iyamis Bishma, if you told me that the Braisa was really referring to Safek Gamtif, Safek Chol Have Davar Sheish Matirin, V'chol Davar Sheish Matirin Afil Be'elef Labatu. So if the whole Braisa is about a Safek when it was laid, so I understand why we apply the din of a beitza because we have davar sheish matir by yom tov. In other words, today the egg is the aser, tomorrow the egg is mutter because yom tov is over tomorrow. So that's what's called the davar sheish matir. Now, though it's aser now, it has a heter, and we say davar sheish matir that's not batal. Batal applies across the board, except there are a few exceptions. One exception is a davar sheish matir. So before you go ahead, if you look at a very, very important Rashi here, Rashi writes here, afilu be'elef lo batal. He says, V'yafa gav de midiraisa chad betre batal. On a deraisa level, one and two is batal. Dichsev achar rabim lahatos. You always go based on the majority. Achmer rabbanon, the rabbanon were machmir, hol v'yeshel matirin lachas man. Since this egg will be mutter tomorrow, lo yochlenu b'iser al yidei bitul. Don't do bitul. I mean, wait 24 hours, it'll be mutter. That's what davar sheshel matirin means according to Rashi. Just wait till it's over. Now, the Ran in the Dharm has a completely different pshat. He says, no, davar sheshel matirin works very differently. He says, the way it works is that the shita Rabbi Huda, that was min b'mino, lo bato. If you have two of the same items, there's no bito. Now what happens if the two same items, one's aser, one's mutter? Rabbi Huda said, it's still not bato. You have, milk, one the milk that's mutter, one milk that's aser. You mix them together, and that's min b'mino, that's lo bato, according to Rabbi Huda. Rabban say, no, that is bito. Ah, so what's pshat? Ran says, Rabbi Huda, Chacham hold that min b'mino is not bato either. But that which is mutter, and that which is aser, it's not the same min. Granted, scientifically, they're both milk. Fine. But once mutter, once aser, that halachic status changes to min shelo b'mino, and therefore it is batal. When you need friction to create bittel. That's what Rabban holds. But he says the Ran, when the davar iser has a yeshlo matirin, that's not really be'etim aser. It's really be'etim mutter. It's just aser temporarily. It's aser just for today. That's really called min b'mino, according to Chachamim. It's really mutter b'mutter, and therefore that's why there's no bittul. That's pshat, according to the Ran, which is a very different pshat than that of Rashi. Either way, back inside the Gemara, we're still trying to figure out why, if it's really the Braisa was a case of only Yontif, so we get why it would be no bittul, because davar sheshel matirim. But if it's, as we're saying now, it's really a case of suffix of a trefa, and a trefa egg falls into other eggs, there should be bittul. Why are we saying no bittul? There's no davar sheshel matirin by trefa. It's not mutter the next day by trefa. It's aser. So Gemara says again, where are we now? Ella, iyam is suffek trefa davar sheshel matirin. There's no heter for trefa. He. B'tibata baruba. It's yibata barov. Why are we saying the whole pile of 1,000 eggs and one egg trefa falls in, the whole thing's aser? V'chitem, if you're going to tell me, beta chashuva v'labatla. So there are like 4 or 5 different reasons why we don't apply bittul. So one of them is it's a davar chashuv. Davar chashuv is no bittul when it's an item that's very significant. We don't say bittul. So if you're going to tell me that beit is considered chashuva and there's no bittul, so the Gemara says, fine, that makes sense according to the following. I'll stay outside for a moment. The Gemara is about to present a bit of a tricky machlokas. It's not hard to understand. It's just the reading's a little bit difficult here. That what's considered davar chashuv? So anything you sell by the numbers, by the count, that's called davar chashuv. When you sell, you don't sell, I don't know, rice by how many kernels of rice are there. You sell it by the weight. If you sell it by the number, that's called davar chashuv. So eggs are eggs sold by weight, and they're sold by numbers. So the Gemara is going to say that most people sell it by the number, but not everybody does. So there's some items the Gemara is going to list. I don't know what they all mean. In the English, you can help me out what they mean. But there's some items that people only sell by the count. No one ever sells it by weight, only by count. Those are definitely called davar chashuv. Then there are other items that many people sell by the count, but not everybody sells. So Gemara is about to present the machlokas. If you hold that everyone holds, there's 6 or 7 items that are only sold by count, that's definitely davar chashuv and there's no bittul. But there's a machlokas by all the other items that are sometimes sold by count, but not always. Is that also chashuv and no bittul or no? Since it's not exclusively sold by the number, we would not apply the din of chashuv and there would be bittul. So Gemara says, are you going to suggest that a beit is considered chashuva? Is that really true? And therefore there's no bittul? That's why even a trefa egg will not have bittul because its beitza is chashuvahi. Hanich al-man damre makes sense. Kol shadar chalimanos shaninu. If you hold that things that are, again, the words kol and s are not so clear, but things that are normally sold as a b'minyan, we would apply davar chashuv, that would make sense. But el al-man damre es shadar chalimanos shaninu. If you hold that only the 6 or 7 items that are exclusively sold by count, only those are called davar chashuv, everything else not, which we excluded egg, is not only sold by number, Ma'ik l'meimer. What could you say? The Gemara goes on to present how do we see this machlok as S versus Kol. So Ditzan, the Mishnah says, Misha yulo chavile tlasin shal kile akarim yidalku. If you have some type of vineyard that's overgrown with other types of vegetation, you have to burn it. It's a iser kalayim, kile akarim. Nisaru b'achers, it gets mixed with others. V'achers b'achers, that gets mixed from another pile to another mixture. Kol yadalku, there's no bittul when it comes to kila kerim. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Chacham omrim, yalu b'achas masayim. So he says that no, you should, it's this bittul, 1 to 200 is the ratio. There's 200 times the initial kila kerim, you would apply bittul. Shahaya Rabbi Meir Omer. So what's machlok is whether or not there's bittul or no bittul for this case. So Rabbi Meir, Shahaya Rabbi Meir Omer, eshedarcho limanos mikadesh. Chacham omrim, ain't mikadesh. So that which gets exclusively sold by the count, there's kiddush, it's mikadesh, there's no bittul. And Chacham hold that no, kiddush only applies to certain items. He says, Chacham omrim, ain't mikadesh elashisha dvarim bivad. There are only six items that are exclusively sold by the count, and only those items do we not apply bittul. But this case of the chavila tlasim is not one of the six, and therefore we would apply bittul. It's not exclusively sold by the minyan. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Shiva, he says not six, but there are seven that are on this very short list. There are things that are sold only by the number, and therefore they're chashiv and there's no bittul. The Elohein, what are they? So we just list the six and seven of them. It goes a prach, verimino badon, vechaveyos, stumos, vechalfe tiradin, vechalchi kruv, vedelas yevanis, vekiva mosav, af kikarisho balabai. So these are 6/7 items that are only sold by the count, and they're davar chashiv, therefore, and there is no bittul. But again, Reb Meir holds that no, not true. He holds that any item that's sold by the count, even sometimes, is considered davar chashiv. And the Gemara just says this is tangentially. Now it says haroi la arla haroi the kilei kerem that which is types of vegetation that are trees are subject to the lachas of arla. That which is considered vegetables is subject to the lachas of kilei kerem. Again, the side point here. V'itmar arla comes along now. Rabbi Yochanan to say amr eshedarcho limano shaninu. Rabbi Shimon Omer ben Reish Lakish Omer kol shedarcho limano shaninu. Meaning what? Rabbi Yochanan says only those items, eshedarcho means only those items listed are considered sold by the count. Reish Lakish says no, anything that's sold sometimes or most of the times by the count, even though it's not always sold by the count, that's what's considered davar chashuv. So this machlokas, Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, is it exclusively these or it's expanded to others as well, would be this machlokas, whether bait is considered chashuv or not chashuv. Hanichal Reish Lakish, this makes sense, he says kol shedarcho, anything that's sold many times by the count is a davar chashuv. So beta would be davar chashuv, and therefore, if a beta trefa falls into a vat of 1,000 eggs, we would say no beta because it's a davar chashuv. And Rabbi Yochanan, Ma'ik Lemeimer, according to Rabbi Yochanan, who holds that no, eshedarcho means only those 6-7 items, and that's it. Therefore, the beta would not be davar chashuv, and it would be batel. So how are you going to explain the Gemara here? If we say the brayse above is about a trefa, beta, it falls into 1,000, why would that not be bittul? So Gemara says, Amar Repapa, Haitana Tana Delitros Ksiosu. We're not going to continue because it's going to go deep into the next daf here. But right now, it cannot be this initial Tana we brought. He cannot be the author. The Tana who limits which items are Batal, which ones are not, they cannot be the author of this Mishnah, the Brayse above. We're now about to present another Tana based on halachas of certain fig cakes that he holds that a Davar Shibim Minyan is not Batal. Even though it's not exclusively sold by the number, it's sold many times by the weight. Nonetheless, he holds a bittul, and that he's going to be the author of the brayse above, that a beit is considered a davar chashuv. We'll just read a line or two. He says, that tana, hai tana, tana delitra kitsiosu, damar kol davar shibiminyan, anything that's sold by the count, not even though it's not only sold that way, but many times sold by the count, afilu b'derabana labatul, b'kol shkem b'deraisa, even if the davar iser is only an iser on a derabana level, it's no bittul, kavachomer of the iser is at the deraisa level. That means is, when it comes to truma, so truma, there's a big machlokas, which fruit to chayv in truma on a deraisa level versus, oh, that's late. You know, let's just stop here because I got to run downstairs. We'll stop here and Yirtzeh Hashem will continue on Sunday, I guess. Everyone have a wonderful Shabbos. Well, that was long.